Welcome to this IFRS Foundation podcast, which will focus on the November meeting of the International Accounting Standards Board. The meeting took place in London on the 14th of November 2017. My name is Matt Tilling and I'm the Director of Education here at the Foundation. As usual, I'm together with the Chair of the Board, Hans Hugewurst, but this month we have two new voices at the table, Board members Anne Tarker and Nick Anderson. Both are new additions to the board this year, Anne coming from an academic background and Nick coming from an investment background, and we're going to hear from them through the podcast. But Hans, before we go into the board discussion, do you want to provide a brief summary of some of the other key events in the past month?
Well, yeah, there has been a lot of travel going on. Most recently, we had a meeting with the trustees of the IFRS Foundation in Brazil, in São Paulo. The trustees, as most people will know, are our oversight body. We meet with them three times a year to discuss progress and to discuss strategic priorities. And the trustees also play a very important role in monitoring our due process for the standard setting activities to see whether we have followed all the due process requirements. While we were there, I took the opportunity to speak at two events, one joint event organized with a local professional accounting body, and I also spoke at an event about international reporting requirements organized by the Brazilian Standard Setter. I came to São Paulo directly from Canada, where we had an IFRS conference preceding the trustees meeting, and I took part in a panel discussion with our friends from the FASB who were also there, and the Canadian Standard Setter, and we updated our Canadian stakeholders on the board's work. Canada is a very important country for us. At the time, they took a very courageous decision to adopt IFRS, even though their economy is very closely integrated with the American economy, and a lot of companies were using US GAAP at the time. So we always make sure that we follow the activities in Canada very closely and that we keep good contact with our constituents there.
Nick, another issue for us to have a look at before we look at the board. It's been 6 months since we issued the new insurance contract standard, IFRS 17, and it's obviously an important standard from the point of view of investors, and we wonder what you've been hearing.
Yes, there's been a lot of ongoing education work on IFRS 17, and a key part of that has been explaining the new standard to investors. Our former board member, Stephen Cooper, started this initiative, but I've been fortunate to take it forward from here. So far, we've had more than 50 meetings, and we've seen over 300 investors across North America, Europe, South Africa, and Asia Pacific. In addition, we've just summarised on our website the key questions that investors tend to ask about the standard, together with our responses. And we'll continue this engagement over the months ahead.
Hans, let's move now to the board discussion at the latest meeting. It all started with a discussion of primary financial statements. That's a central part of the board's work under the theme of better communication in financial reporting.
Yes, indeed, the primary financial statements project is one of the most important work streams under the banner of better communication. It has all to do with what information is presented on the face of the income statement. And as I've said before, currently IFRS does not have too many formatting requirements for the income statement, for example. We define revenue and we define profit or loss, but not so much in between. And that is one of the reasons why non-GAAP has taken off and why it is increasingly popular. Investors and preparers do need disaggregation. They want to see subtotals to really drill down into the numbers. And we are simply not providing that, and that is one of the reasons why non-GAAP is so popular. We do not have the ambition to root out non-GAAP. There is a need for it to give industry-specific information about companies, but we do think we have to regain a little bit of territory there, and that is why this is very important work.
Anne, I know that this is a topic that you're also very interested in. Could you summarise the board discussion this month?
Yes, Matt. We continued the discussion from the September board meeting about introducing additional subtotals into the income statement. And we're of the view that we've made some good progress here. In particular, we continued the discussion of an EBIT-style subtotal. That would be earnings before interest and tax, or equivalent. Something that would give a subtotal that would be relatively comparable as a measure of performance between various companies. Of course, the EBIT issue for us is about what the I for interest represents, and this may not be as straightforward as it sounds. In the meeting, we agreed on principles regarding what the I should consist of. We also discussed introducing an investing category, and this would provide additional structure into the income statement. The investing category would sit above EBIT and include income and expenses that related to items that generated a return largely independently from the company's other resources. For example, such items could be non-consolidated equity investments. By putting these items into a separate category, we think it will improve presentation and comparability for investors.
You also had quite a lively discussion on whether the share of profit or loss from all associates and joint ventures should be included in the investing category.
Yes, we did, and board members were quite mixed on this topic. Some board members would like to see associates and joint ventures in one place in the investing category, and that seems to be what the investors are asking for as well. However, other board members felt quite strongly that some kinds of associates and joint ventures play an important role in companies' operations. We might think of these as integral associates and joint ventures, and possibly these should be presented higher up in the income statement, indeed above the investing category.
So this will continue to be discussed over coming board meetings, I guess.
Yes, there's more work to do, Matt.
Hans, the board also discussed wider corporate reporting. It's quite a hot topic. The board last discussed this in March this year. What's happened since?
So in March, the board asked the technical staff to do some more research following on from a presentation on the current landscape of wider corporate reporting. So wider corporate reporting includes reporting such as integrated reporting, sustainability reporting, social responsibility reporting. Much of that reporting is directed to society at large, rather than the investor and creditor community, which we are focused on. And we feel that other bodies, such as, for example, Global Reporting Initiative, GRI, that they are better equipped to meet the more diverse needs of other stakeholders group and which are related to public policy objectives. At the same time, we do acknowledge that there is a lot of broader financial information which is relevant to investors and creditors, but which escapes the financial statements. For example, companies will find it necessary to inform investors about intangibles such as business model, strategy, impact of the economic environment, its technological capabilities, more forward-looking information, all information which is very difficult to capture in the financial statements and which also escapes our standards because we just find it too difficult to measure. And recognize, but still it is very relevant information for the investor. Most companies feel a need to inform investors about such information. They usually do that in the broader annual report. The question is, should we provide better guidelines as to how to do that? Now, in 2010, we already made a first effort to do so. We created the Management Commentary Practice Statement, which is a sort of a guide on how to write the annual report in conjunction with the financial statements. Ever since 2010, a lot of developments have taken place. Integrated reporting has taken off, as I said, increasing popularity of sustainability reporting. Some of the sustainability issues obviously have an impact on the value of a company when you're, for example, a mining company or a car manufacturer. Environmental issues become very important for your business model and your long-term value creation. So this is all increasingly in the picture, and it basically has escaped the guidance that we wrote down in our management commentary practice statement in 2010. So we feel there's a need to update it, and that's what we decided to do in the last board meeting. So we are going to take the management commentary practice statement and update it to the latest developments in reporting that we see around the world.
Segment reporting was another topic on this month's agenda. It's been a while since we last discussed this project. Hans, could you remind us how this project came about?
Well, this is about IFRS 8, standards called operating segments, one of the more recent standards. Currently, we do, after 2 to 3 years, we do a post-implementation review of a new standard. We do that to see whether they work as intended, if there are unintended consequences or problems. And IFRS 8 was the first standard that we did a post-implementation review on. And the overall feedback was that it generally works well, but that there were some areas that could benefit from improvements. So in March, we proposed some improvements in an exposure draft that were published for public comment. In this board meeting, we discussed the comments as they came back.
Yeah, and Nick, now that those comments have been analysed, what would we find out?
That's right. The staff presented a summary of the comment letters and other feedback received on the exposure draft, together with a list of areas for further work based on the feedback. The board wasn't asked to make any decisions, so the purpose of the meeting was to make sure the board had sufficient information to decide the direction of the project at a future meeting.
And what feedback did we receive on the proposals?
It's fair to say respondents had mixed views on the proposals in the exposure draft. Investors generally supported the proposed changes, but they also encouraged the board to require more disclosure on segments. Companies, national standard setters and accounting firms, however, asked us for further clarification of some of our proposals. Some of them also asked whether the benefits of the proposals would outweigh the costs. So we'll continue these discussions in the future.
And as the last topic we're going to look at, and this is a particularly techie one, I thought we should give a quick update on the Dynamic Risk Management Project. This was known as macro hedging in the past.
The financial instrument standard IFRS 9 introduces some improved hedge accounting and disclosure requirements to enable companies to better reflect risk management in their financial statements. But those improvements don't cover situations in which a company manages risks dynamically. What do I mean by this? It's where the risk position being hedged changes frequently, and consequently, so do the hedging derivatives. In this project we're talking about, the Dynamic Risk Management Project, the board is exploring an accounting model that would enable investors to understand companies' dynamic risk management and to evaluate performance of the risk strategies that companies apply.
Having completed education sessions on dynamic risk management last month, what has the board done with regard to this matter this month?
The board has now started discussing possible accounting approaches, and specifically we looked at two possible models. The first model is inspired by the mechanics of cash flow hedge accounting, and the second model is inspired by fair value hedge accounting. In the meeting, the board indicated a preference for the first model and has asked the staff to develop a more detailed project plan. So I believe we can return to this topic in future podcasts.
That brings us to the end of the November podcast. Thank you, Hans, Nick, and Anne for joining us today. And thank you to our listeners as always. Any feedback on these podcasts, please email communications@ifrs.org. The full summary of the board's discussion and decisions at the November meeting can be found in the ISB update on the IFRS Foundation's website. Thank you all very much.